Welcome back to another edition of OT. This is number 5. I got the number right this time with Naston Riggs. And today we got our main man, Hunter Brody, with us. This guy's jacked. He's got the headband going. I'm fucking loving this guy's style every time I see him. I want him on our men's league team, by the way, before we even get to anything else. I know you're in Williamstown. You're close by Hollydale, brother. We just lost championship game last night. First time we lost in a while. We need you.
Well, look, I'll be there. Hollydale is where I grew up. Without Hollydale, I'm not even going down the road of juniors or college or anything. That's my bread and butter. I mean, Coach Key banging his stick over my helmet back in the day. You know, I'm not getting that work ethic. So that's where I grew up.
That's right, brother. We need you, man. We had the Blue Devils are good. We're good buddies with them. They're always good games, but they won. They deserved to win. They were the better team, and they pumped us all year. Last night's game was pretty good, though, Broads, but I was not on the sheets again.
Ooh.
Actually, I did have – I had one helper.
Dash?
I might have been a dash, but I did have a helper, but nothing that really helped the team out. So, anyway, those guys, congratulations. I promised I would – they're all over me in the bar last night. Oh, yeah. I said, can't wait to hear what you got to say this week. I'm like, fuck, I always give you guys props. And Riggs had a good excuse. He didn't make the game either. That probably would have helped us a little bit, you know, maybe a lot. But anyway, Broads, these Flyers, man, ever since the coaching change, basically, let's say the last 5 games, what have you seen, man? 9 out of 10 points, not bad.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think this almost, and I hate to go down this road, but it feels like it was to be expected, lose 10 and then get our emotions right back into it after losing 10 by playing well. I knew when they were losing those 10 games straight, though, that even though it's ugly, it's like there's too much talent on this team for them to be going through this for an 82-game sample size. At some point, they're going to snap out of it and play a better brand of hockey, I thought. And a lot of it, not to make excuses, but when you're seeing Tampa Bay and Carolina and Florida every single night and you start to get beat and then there's a big snowball effect that happens, you lose your confidence and it kind of got out of control. But I knew deep down that they were not as putrid as they were showing, and then they got a new voice in the locker room. Well, not really new, but, you know, steps in, has a different role in there, and you try some different line combinations, Lindblom playing with others, and JVR gets going. I always keep saying when I see players like JVR score and Lindblom score and then they win games, it's not ironic that when the depth of this team starts going and producing more, but then the team starts winning more games, and when they were losing, those guys weren't producing. Now they are producing and they're winning. And, you know, there's a lot of variables to all this, but I just see a more confident group. I knew that they were more talented than what they showed, but a more confident group playing with some buzz, some energy, getting in on the forecheck, and sometimes they're even establishing the zone better. I don't know if that's an AV philosophy of them trying to, you know, chip it in throughout and just trying to, you know, get in there, and it just wasn't working as much. Now they have more confidence entering the zone at times, but all around, I just see a group of guys that are just playing with a little bit more swag right now, and I think that there's probably 5 or 6 different reasons why that is.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, Broads, and I think there's a couple of variables that you mentioned. One being the honeymoon phase of the new coach or the new voice. We had Litz on last week, and I think everybody that's played hockey, once the coach gets fired, there's kind of like that fire that's reignited. For whatever reason, it's just the way it goes. You said, like, you lose 10, you're expected to, you're going to win some games, obviously. And the games they've won have been against lower tiered teams, right? So, you know, they're winning the games they should right now, and they're getting the points, they're finding their mojo. But eventually they're going to go into a run where they're playing high level teams again, as you mentioned. So they're going to have to be able to keep this momentum going forward somehow and finding ways to win those games. Because you look at those last 5. You know, they barely won in Vegas, where Carter Hart stole them the game. I think they got a shot by 20 shots or something like that. And it's a good team. And then you've played 4 teams that are, again, bottom of the barrel type teams. And but the Flyers are looking good. They are executing. You got guys stepping up, as you mentioned. A couple guys, you know, Sanheim's plays improved. G's been consistent, but they are attacking. They're absolutely attacking. They're breaking the puck out cleaner, attacking more on all parts of the ice, and they're finding ways to score goals. But they're exciting, but they should be winning these games no matter what. And we'll see if they can keep this up, because they got some serious competition coming up here down the pipe, and you have to win those games too. I mean, you have to keep closing down the margin and finding ways to stay in the race. As early as it is, still.
For sure. And I like what G said after the Ottawa win and overtime. He knows that there's so much more for this. Yeah, they're winning. And you're right. They snag a point against the Habs. That was a weird circumstance. No fans. And yep. You could see the team just came out flat and all. And once again, I'm not making excuses. I'm just objectively analyzing what happened there. You get thrown into that. And yeah, it makes a lot of sense that a team came out flat. It's got to be a weird, very strange environment. But you grab the 5 out of the 6 points in the week or whatnot, and you're kind of rolling through it. And one thing I like right now is because when AV got fired, there was a lot of noise about, oh, how about Tortorella or how about Bruce Boudreau? And I don't mind Bruce and I don't mind Tortorella. I think that they're fine coaches, but this team was so fragile that I don't know if when you go out and get a lobby, when you go get a tort, it's this message that we're trying to get over the hump to go win that championship. And obviously they're in a mode after Chuck Fletcher's moves to win now. Don't get me wrong, but I thought Mike Yeo staying there and the personality of Yeo and hearing him speak at the original press conference there, he learned a lot from his time in Minnesota where he had a blow up and threw sticks over the arena and whatnot. I think for right now, for where they are, it's a good combination. You need someone, and I hate to say this, but it's all around sports. When you go from Gabe Kapler to the next guy, you go from super soft to someone with a little bit more of an edge. Not that Joe Girardi isn't a player's manager, but he is. But when you go from hardcore, you normally follow that off with a little bit more player friendly. And then when that doesn't work, you go to the hard message and then you flip flop back and forth. I just thought, and I'm not saying Mike, yeah, wasn't hard or anything, but I think my point of it is with how fragile that room was,
yep,
I kind of like the way Mike Yeo is handling this from an overall perspective. His first couple of games, it's let's go win for the fans. You know, yeah, it's not too much, yeah, pressure on X's and O's, this and that. Let's go win at home for the people in the building. Things like that, I think, goes a long way when you're losing that ugly like they were.
Yeah, Broads, I couldn't agree more with you. And you brought up a point when you first started there about Oscar Lindblom. A guy like Oscar to me, and again, you know, I say this all the time, I was an equipment guy, not a GM, not a coach, didn't play the game, but around it a long time. Oscar isn't going to give you what you're looking for on the fourth line. Like, he's got to play with skilled guys. He's a skilled player, and he can shoot the hockey puck. And, you know, he's not scoring a goal a game since this happened, but he has produced now, and he's gaining confidence with every game. Even a guy like JVR, you know, we know JVR put the puck in the net, but he's got to play, and he's got to play with more skilled guys to do that. So I think that was a great point by you because Yosi, I think he obviously sitting as an assistant coach running the D, saw that and made that change, you know. And I think it's huge because he's playing with G, and G's put points up like you can't say enough about Claude's game. Is even through the 10-game losing streak, I mean, you can't say Claude played bad.
Like, I agree.
And, you know, to me, I mean, I have a soft spot for him, but I never I can never tell you a game where I thought to myself, man, G just didn't bring it tonight. I'm not saying he had a great game, but he always shows up, and he cares. And I think he gets a lot of flack here in Philly. Maybe not flack, but just doesn't get enough respect.
I can't agree more with you. That face, your expression when he scores a big bingo,
and he's right.
That orange beard and just that face of determination. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah.
How do you replace G? Really, you know, like if people want to blow up the team or you know get rid of G before Christmas. I mean, it sounds like an easy thing to do on paper. How do you fill that hole? How do you fill that hole? Who do you replace him with?
And with the no trade, obviously, the no movement clause and all that plays a role. When they lost their 10th game, though, their 10th game,
yeah,
I did start saying, like, not because I love G and he's amazing, but it's more of where is this franchise go? You know, like, this is so common now that even if they do figure this thing out, find a way to squeak in, I value that because we've seen Jonathan Quick, the LA Kings. We've seen teams as the 8th seed. The Montreal Canadiens last year, who would have thought they – now they're blowing it up because they didn't like the direction of the team. And St. Louis with Berube. We've seen them go from worst to first. So it's possible. But I just think if this is what we're going to get year in and year out every year, at some point, just everything, and I mean everything, needs to be honestly looked at. But then my emotions get pulled through when I see them start winning games and I go, oh, should I have said that after the 10th loss? Probably not. I let the emotions get the best of me because there was a time where I'm thinking, if you're the Flyers and you keep losing these games, do you ask him where would you like to go to try and win that Stanley Cup?
Sure.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's only fair to him for what he's done here. And I still don't think he gets enough respect for everything he has done. That's another thing we were going to bring up about him tying Bill Barber, in all-time points. I mean, that's a pretty big deal, man. Like
next to Bobby Clark.
Yeah,
it's not bad. And he's just crushing. It seems like every week or every month he's breaking a new record and whatever else he's doing, especially in the Flyers organization here. But, I can see it to your point there, Broads. If this keeps going on, getting closer to the trade deadline, I think they at least got to have that conversation with them out of respect. But I think right now is still too early. I mean, they're 4 points out of a wild card position. They're finally back to 500. Not that it's anything to boast about, but they're moving in the right direction, and there's still 52 games left in the regular season. So
with Ellis coming back too, which is a huge part of their team. Even though we've only seen about four games out of
him. But he carries a lot of, important minutes and can move the puck. And, add a guy like that, certainly can improve your team. There's no question.
Yeah, I agree. Especially, look, the power play was miserable all year. Adding someone who does so much special teams work is important. And I'm going to be honest, I think Ivan Provorov's been disappointing this year. And we always know that when we see Matt Niskanen and when we saw Ryan Ellis for a limited amount of games, the impact of a number one with Provy is very important. And you mentioned Sanheim's game. Sanheim's game has been incredible. And this is no knock on Sanheim. See, Sanheim's another one that got a lot of hate in this city.
Sure.
And he's got an unbelievable skill set. And I still think he's raw at times, but you can see when he's jumping up into the play, he's making good decisions there. But I will say, if Sanheim is your best defenseman, I think that's troublesome as a whole entire team. And that's no knock on him. I'm just saying, you look around the league at some of these teams that have a lot, he's not a number one D-man, but I will give him credit for how great he really is playing right now. So, to that point, adding Ryan Ellis back, and hopefully that can help Provorov. And then if Risto line in, because the thing with Risto and Sanheim, it's funny in like a sarcastic way. When they're good, they're good.
Yeah.
When they're bad, they're bad. There's nothing in between.
I agree. Yeah. It's sloppy.
Average play. Yeah. It's like, what in the world? Or then it's Risto being Trouba out there knocking guys with their head down. It's like, you never get this. But when they're on, I mean, they really do play well together. So it's an uncomfortable feeling because you just don't know what you're going to get each night.
That's true.
Yeah. No doubt. Yeah. You're right. Adding Ellis back, it just reinforces their defensive core. Provy naturally will have to, he will be better just by being on the ice with Ellis. Obviously, Ellis's play, probably log close to 30 minutes. And then if Sanheim can keep this pace up, then all of a sudden it's a different animal. Then you're playing away from the net even more than you are right now in breaking the pucks out cleaner. So it's everybody's been waiting for Ellis to get back. It's gonna improve the team, but in the meantime, he's gonna win games.
I want to ask you guys a question.
Yes.
I'm in a tough spot here, and it goes to, and I knew it was gonna play out this way to a degree. Maybe not as sloppy as it has been, but what do you do with the Keith Yandle situation? Ooh. Because everyone's kind of going down the road of once that number's hit. And I don't want to put you guys on the spot, but I'm just saying, look, he's historically not been good 5-on-5. My expectations were not good 5-on-5, and then he ends
produced
up
on the
some
power play
minutes. But here's the difference. You mentioned Ryan Ellis, and it's very important. Justin Braun's been really solid this year.
Mm-hmm.
Him being the 6th D-man and being with Keith Yandle as a stay-at-home D-man is a lot different than Nick Seeler playing a ton of minutes. He's a nice energy guy, but for a long period of time, that exposes Keith Yandle even more, where if we get the solid play Justin Braun's doing on the first line, on the third pairing, maybe it's not as much of a problem, and that snowball effect from just Ellis not being here is significant to the Yan situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? It's a great question because we've talked about this too. I mean, and we met with Ghost while we're in Arizona, and we had side conversations around. Essentially, I understand it lands up being a money issue. Why you have to get rid of your Ghost, and then you get a guy like Yandle for significantly less. But when Ghost is high risk, high reward, at least there's like this energy behind it that he's trying, and there's like this effort, and there's like this sparkle now and then, and all that good stuff. I don't necessarily see that with Jans, and not that matters. Just don't be such a liability on the back end of it. And he's not producing, on power play. So, I mean, I don't know how this plays out. It's just like there's some goals they just like scratch your head at like are you even like watching the play at all, you know? And are you like just as not that I even played defense, but just like, you know, that natural reaction you'd have to certain plays around the net. There's no urgency there, and that's, to me, that's like troublesome when you're, you know, when you're not bringing on the other side of the fence. So that I don't know how this plays out, you know? Yeah. How many consecutive games?
I know. I see, I've never been in that spot. If I'm not playing 100%, I'm out of the lineup. If not, I'm sitting there next to the coach in the third period like, shit.
You mean you didn't play 950 straight games banging it around like that?
Unfortunately not, but I can imagine with him, not that he, look, we're all athletes, right? We're on that ice, we care, but I can only imagine when there's no fear of if I'm going to play the next night or not. I mean, being relaxed is good, and he's clearly a veteran. He's been around forever, but yep. I'd have to imagine that, because you like the sense of urgency, the lack thereof. He's not getting scratched or anything. No, who's going to be the ass?
Yeah.
It's not going to be Mikey O to say, look, you're not the interim head coach. You're not playing. Right. So I don't know if that plays a role. And I mean, look, I think he's a good locker room piece. He's a good veteran guy and all, but it's just not working right now. That's easy to see.
You're right, Broads. If he's getting points on the power play, at least, you know, to kind of offset some of the you know, minuses. Sometimes minuses they're misleading, but
I would agree. Don't look at my stats.
I just thought we would be getting more, and maybe we will. There's a lot of games left. Maybe things will start going the other way for him on the power play. But that is a great question. What do you do there?
Maybe you do need to be that guy and say, listen, like the streak's got to come to an end at some point, and maybe that's the spark that you need out of him. I don't know. Or maybe you need a John Tortorella to come in and do that first game. And things up completely. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is a business. It's not about padding the record. You know, it's amazing feat what he's accomplished. I mean, that's insane to play that many games in a row. But, you know, if now that I see him more regularly than I did when he's out west, I can see how you can maybe, you know, be able to self-preserve that long, because you're not really touching anybody. You're not getting engaged physically, you know, and you're kind of just like holding space, I guess, sometimes. But again, if this is about winning games and ultimately winning championships, you have to get more out of him. And if that means having to scratch him, it's going to hurt his feelings or what. He's a big boy. He'll be fine. He's probably got the record. I mean, who cares at the end of the day? You know what I mean? It's a side point.
Yeah, I mean, look, I wouldn't have the balls to do it.
Call in the office. Yeah, we got to talk to you, buddy. Oh, man.
That's great.
Well, we'll see how that one plays out. But, yeah, I agree. I mean, I mean, how much longer can you go like this? And, you know, and especially when Ellis gets back, there's going to be probably a heavy conversation around that.
Probably helps, too, that they've, like we just said, 9 out of the last 10 points.
Yeah.
It's not as noticeable, maybe.
Yeah.
But. Like you said,
that's a good point. I mean, the whole team in general. I mean, look at the offense. Joel Farabee coming back. This kid is so legit.
He's a special player, man.
Yeah. So the speed. That's everything. The way that he works with that speed and all, and he's got amazing vision. He's such an awesome player. You know, there's some guys though that I'm still looking a little bit more from. I think Travis Konecny's in this rough spot. I mean, he came out really guns blazing a few years ago, had that awful playoffs, and then. He's another guy like Lindblom where he's got to play with the right people. And I think if, you know, and it's tough because if you have a lot of players that have to play with the right people, there's only so many right people to go around, and then you kind of get stuck in this spot. So, you know, it's tough to kind of figure out, because I'm thinking of that top six, and you can do so much, and you can think about if you're trying to figure out how to get TK going and this and that, you know, can you move Giroux to this, you keep him at center instead of the wing, and that opens up versatility to kind of have guys playing with other people and whatnot. I mean, I'm just looking for answers just like anyone else. When they were struggling to score, they were doing it at such a low rate that just like with them losing games, you'd have to imagine at some point it gets a little better. And just naturally, when your power play gets better, you score more goals, and then that transitions into your entire game. So, you know, just looking for answers. And I mean, I like G obviously way more at the wing at this point in his career. I'm just saying, if I'm looking to try and get other players going, the Lindbloms, the JVR, just moving guys around. Lawton, you can try him at center, try him at wing. Just get all crazy with it at this point and see what kind of flows to get some fellas going. And you know, I think there was a line the other night. It might have been Lawton. It was the game where who did they beat that one? I forget. I was at the game. I forget who it was. But I think they tried Lawton, Couturier, and TK, and there was some buzz going with them. And, you know, you just kind of try different things to get some of these players going.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, that being said about TK, I do agree he has another dimension, possibly two or three. But since AV's been gone, thanks to Baller and our stats here, he has squeezed out seven apples. So he is becoming a little bit more involved. But I do agree, when he's gone, he's buzzing, he's scoring, he's exciting. You know, I think he can find that dimension.
He's a guy that you have to just, as a coach, you have to leave him alone and let him skate around and be a prick and get under guys' skin, which that wasn't always allowed. I don't know if that's the word allowed, but I know he got shit a lot, and it kind of, TK's that player where he needs to be involved in the game. He needs to be chirping like Broads used to fucking fly around, chirping guys, a little stick here and there.
Dominating at Hollydale.
Whoa. It was like that until I started wearing the visor. I shut up real quick.
But TK's got to be involved in the game. And the more involved he gets, the more chippy he is, the better he plays. And I think it's a matter of time for him to, once he buries one, I think it's going to hopefully open up the floodgates anyway.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. When you just threw seven apples my way, I saw that the other day, actually, and I thought to myself, they're not loud, though. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes when Giroux hits Cam Atkinson.
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
We know how the league works. So sometimes you get that secondary, it's like, hey.
Yeah, right.
Hey.
Yeah, right.
Look, I hear you. He doesn't make plays out there. He definitely does. But when I watched those last X amount of games.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's not like he jumps off the page.
Right.
100%.
Right.
All right, Broads. Well, we appreciate your insights. Any, tell our listeners where to find you? I know you're all over the map on the social media.
He's got it all going on.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's all over the place. Yeah, so Broads Media on YouTube and Twitter. Broads81 on Twitter. 97.5 The Fanatic on the weekends. And, that's pretty basic. It's where we're at.
I love it.
Beautiful.
I love it. I love the headpiece today. It's a little different.
It's a Lululemon head.
Oh, Lulu.
Along with the dry sense hoodie, you know what I'm saying?
Not a big deal.
I got the joggers on too. It's the full Lululemon. And for the first time, and I'd say I'm an addict to Lululemon, as probably majority of us are, but I went for the five pack of boxers for the first time.
Oh, wow. How was that?
Wow.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Highly recommended.
Riggs, you need to
You gotta get Lululemon on as a sponsor, then.
Yeah,
I'll tell you
should.
What.
I've reached out.
Oh, yeah.
I reached out. I had to make my Instagram account it's not your basic now. It's like I'm an actual, not an influencer, but a brand account. I'm going through the stuff I need to go through.
Right on.
I think you should just do the show in the Lulu briefs. That's it.
Oh yeah.
Listen, you talk about numbers skyrocketing. I don't know if your old lady's gonna like that too much, but
it'll be all right.
It'll be all right.
we might be able to work something.
Could be selling a lot of briefs, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I look at the gender of what watches my channel. You got 97% men, so I don't know if this is really gonna be the greatest idea in the world.
Maybe not, maybe not.
Yeah.
It could pick up the female side of things, though.
Well, you're right.
you may lose
a little more diversity.
You may lose the other some of the men, though. That's good.
You're right. I don't know where this is going.
I don't either. Sorry, brother.
All right, bro. It's appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good day, buddy.
Thanks, brother.